Welcome, everybody. This is the Between the Ropes podcast. I'm Brian Fritz. Appreciate everybody for listening to the podcast, for downloading, for subscribing, and all the different platforms, including iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, SoundCloud, and the TuneIn app. A little bonus edition of the podcast. I told everybody it was coming, and it's really coming. So I am hoping to get back to where I can do this more often. I want to do additional podcasts per week. Lately, it's just been Michael and I doing the podcast every week, which is great. We at least punch out one a week. I would like to do more. I'm hoping to get back to doing more, and I am going to put forth my best effort in doing more podcasts. And I want to do more interviews. I haven't had an interview in a little while, probably a few weeks. Some of that is just because of a WrestleMania hangover. And also because if you haven't been paying attention, I haven't had a lot of interviews with Impact Wrestling. Well, it seems like that could possibly change here because things are changing there with the company. So I'm hoping to get more interviews with them, including the interview like this one with EC3. So Ethan Carter III, of course, one of the main players with Impact Wrestling. He'll be a big part of Slammiversary that is coming up here on July 2nd at the Impact Zone in Orlando and also airing live on pay-per-view. So I caught up with him. Before I get to the interview, I do want to remind everybody that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Go over and get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial. Go to audibletrial.com/between the ropes. Now, this is a great deal. I'm telling everybody right now, it's cool stuff over at Audible that you get an opportunity to listen to a book. You get a 30-day free trial. So for basically a month, you're getting a free trial. You get to check it out. You get one free audiobook download. Even if you don't stay on with Audible, you get to keep the book. I've said this before, I'm not a big book reader. There's a ton of books that they have to offer from this, over 180,000 titles. So they've got a ton of them. And if you don't have all the time or just don't like to read like me, but there are books you're interested in and you have time to listen, well, this is a win-win situation by going over to Audible right now. So go check it out. Go to audibletrial.com/between the ropes. Sign up for that free audiobook download and the 30-day free trial. Go check it out. You'll be helping me out as well. I'll be honest with you. I read this because it's a sponsor. And if you go there, don't just go there. Don't just go to that website. Sign up as well. Get that 30-day free trial. You'll be helping yourself and you'll be helping me as well. So go download your free audiobook today. Go to audibletrial.com/between the ropes. Go check that out. So let's get to the interview with Ethan Carter III. Like I said, Slammiversary, it's not too far away. We talk about the recent trip to India for the company, where everything is now with Anthem now as the ownership. We talk about where EC3 is a little bit as a character as well. Once again, being a heel, or if you want to call it that, we actually go into different terms when it comes to that, because I think we kind of all agree to some extent that there is no traditional babyface or heel really in wrestling now. Seems like wrestling has really gotten away from that. So we talk about a bunch of different things. We talk about his schedule and whatnot. So let's just get to it. Here is the interview with Ethan Carter III. It's been a little while since I've had the opportunity to speak with EC3, of course, with Impact Wrestling. Slammiversary coming up July 2nd from the Impact Zone in Orlando and live on pay-per-view. How's it going, my man?
It's going well. I had no idea we talked before. We've talked?
We have talked a couple of times, actually.
Oh, sorry. I kind of like immediately forget people that are insignificant to me after they've left my life.
Wow.
I'm kidding, Brian. Let's talk.
I think the last time we even joked around about how you couldn't wait to get me in the ring, and then I actually saw you at a show somewhere here in Central Florida.
I have a tendency to challenge people in the wrestling media that can maybe not defend themselves.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm not going to apologize for it. Well, that's just something I do.
I think the second you saw me, you already probably realized this even beforehand, but the second you saw me, you knew I was not a threat.
Yeah, sometimes I see, you know, a guy like yourself, and I just see a big arrow pointing up on this. It's fake wrestling news, so I just have to let it rip.
So you guys were just recently over in India, obviously, doing the tapings. It's the first time anybody's ever done tapings in India. I think it's It's the second time you've been there, correct?
Correct.
So how was your India experience?
I mean, you know the best part about being in India is?
What's that?
Leaving India. I look at it twofold, and I will start with the positives, and then I will move on to the personal issues. From a company standpoint, we made history. That's amazing. American professional wrestling company filming television in India for the very first time. We have a great partner in Sony 6, a huge market in India. I mean, what an accomplishment to go over there with like the skeleton crew and just be able to accomplish what we did. Amazing. So proud of the effort. Everybody involved. Well done. Bravo. Claps. Little golf clap. Putting everyone over. Good company space. Back rubs. Kumbaya. Everything's great. Personally, it sucked. It sucked for me. It was awful. It was dreadful. It was destitute and dire. First off, I lost all my luggage, except for my gear back, getting over there. So the incompetence of the Indian people astounded me for losing my luggage. So I had my wrestling gear, and I had the clothes I traveled in, which was a nice sweatsuit, one pair of underwear, and no deodorant, no toiletries, nothing to clean myself up with. So I had to cycle through dirty drawers, dirty socks, the same pants. And that's, I mean, going to India, doing media, going to the gym, going to the bar. I had the same stupid outfits on. The hotel had to give me clothes. Apparently, the extra larges in India are not extra large American size. So I was like stuffed in little tight-ass shirts and tight pants. People were laughing at me and they're flooding on me. And I stunk, but apparently without deodorant in India is not a big deal because nobody noticed. As far as that, I got sick, humid, hot. The fans there, they love us over there. They absolutely love us. They love taking pictures, and that absolutely enrages me. So nonstop people talking to me, asking me for pictures, asking me for autographs, just driving me banana sandwich. I lashed out quite a few times at production staff, fans, everybody. Just I'm a little ball of hate over there. Knocked the TV out, and couldn't wait to get to that airport where I had to wait for 3 hours sweating the entire time. But I made it out alive, and they just found my bag, so they said I can pick it up in Mumbai anytime. So that's good news.
That's good news. At least they're going to hold it there for the next time you swing by. It's not that far away, right?
Yeah.
They're not even going to send their bags to you?
I mean, I think I'm working on that between interviews. So
yeah.
It's a process. It's a process dealing with the Indian people. They're very subservient, and nobody knows who's in charge. So, Yeah.
Well, when it comes to the wrestling,
the company, terrible.
yeah. When it comes to the wrestling aspect, like you said, this is the first time anybody's ever done tapings in India. So, what were the fans like from that perspective, especially from yours? Typically, Impact is doing tapings in Orlando. You're in front of a lot of the same fans on a regular basis. So, what was it like being in front of a different audience, especially one that was so different in India?
It was nice to be in front of an audience that is not completely accustomed to us, and it was rewarding to give an effort to people that appreciated it. So it very much reminded me that deep down inside, between all my despair, anger, and hatred, that I really love what I do sometimes. So having that crowd and certain reactions in the places you wanted them reminded me what I'm doing and why I do it, and it was very good to dip out of Orlando and get to a place where people, I don't want to say appreciate it because we're appreciating Orlando to an extent, but it was fresh to them and they weren't ad nauseum seeing it and numb to us. It was great. It was a great experience in that sense.
Is it fair to say that maybe fans in Orlando, because you guys, this is where you typically do your tapings, maybe take it for granted that Impact's going to be here and take for granted that there's going to be wrestling and the company's going to be there all the time?
I wouldn't say it takes for granted because, you can't take for granted support from the fans as long as they show up. But I can say, I love House of Cards and I'm so pumped the season's out and, I'm diving into it. It is so good to get President Underwood and his nefarious means back in my life and just, cool stuff like that. But if every day I had a new, Kevin Spacey, be a Frank Underwood, I'd become accustomed to it and would be as cool and as special. So I wouldn't say, what was the word he used?
I said took for granted.
Took for granted. I wouldn't say we were taken for granted, but they're accustomed to it. So, you know, and that's kind of a responsibility for talent, too, that if seeing people see you day in, day out, you have to still make them react somehow. So you have to be creative, think outside the box, and make them react, because that is your job. It's not the fan's job to have to react. You have to make them react. And if they become accustomed to you, you got to keep them on their toes, switch it up, and not be afraid to change.
So what's the schedule like for you now? Because it feels like you're not doing that many dates outside of Impact. So it feels like you'll do tapings. They'll tape for, you know, 6 weeks at a time or whatever that is, but they'll punch it in during a week's time. Then you probably have a pretty big down period. And then the next time that you're working on a regular basis is once again for the next set of Impact tapings. So what's that schedule like for you?
I don't like it, I'll be honest. I like to work. I like to be out there. I do some independent dates, but that's a responsibility of Impact Wrestling to have me do those days. So if they book me somewhere, I'd happily go and go and have fun. But, you know, with that downtime, I have a lot of time to train, and I should use better use of my time. And outside the rest of my life, you know, this schedule does become sporadic, and, you know, there's nothing I could commit to, because at the drop of a hat, I might have to get on a plane and leave due to these commitments. So I sit at home and I, you know, annoy my, I guess, fiance and our cats a little too much. But time is a valuable thing, and I don't like wasting it. Sometimes I feel like I have. That's a personal thing. That's not anything on the company. I need to make better use of my time. Try to read books, stay in great shape, take on a new hobby. Stuff I should be doing. But in the meantime, what I love to do is wrestle, and I like to do it more.
Have you asked them to book you more?
No. I mean, they know I'm there to be booked, so
I was going to say, because your schedule is so different, can it be difficult to stay sharp? Because there's going to be times where, like I said, you're going to probably wrestle maybe, I don't know, 7 times in a 6-day period, and then you're not going to wrestle on a regular basis again for another 4 weeks. Maybe you'll wrestle 2 or 3 times in that downtime.
Yeah, definitely staying sharp is a key. And I think it's almost reflective. Like, I'm very excited with starting my defense again, because I think it helps. I don't deteriorate, what's the word? Staying sharp was a good term, like, only by working. So, you know, WWE, you're working 3 or 4 times a week, so your skills are always on point, and, you know, you're flowing and you're in good flow. Sometimes coming back to Impact after a 4-week layoff, maybe 1 indie, 2 indies involved, the first days I was like, you know, your work isn't where you want it to be, and I'm very particular about it, so I take great pride doing well. So sometimes I can look back and be like, I'm not too sharp, I need to be better. And then by like the third day, you know, everything's on point, but then day 4, then you're done. So maybe I need to be more responsible for myself and keep myself sharp, because those are tools and they become dull, not being used. But then again, who's calling me and why? Stop it. We need to send this voicemail. So, yeah, not a complaint on the company. It's a complaint on myself to keep myself primed and ready to go at all times.
So are you looking forward to Impact possibly running some house shows? I mean, there's been some talk about that. In fact, I think they've already announced one that's coming up in the summer.
Yeah,
so
we have one in Staten Island. So, yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that. I like being out there. I mean, I don't like getting beat up
right
every day, but I like, you know, your body becomes accustomed to getting beat up. So sometimes after TV, you're hurting a little more than you would if you were working more often. But yeah, I'm very much looking forward to house shows. I'm very much looking forward to, you know, we talked about the impacts now. I'm very much forward to taking our product on the road and seeing what's working outside of the impact zone, because a lot of things you don't know which are catching on because you're in front of the same audience and they've already seen it. So going out there in front of different audiences, seeing what they react to the most means what you can hone in on and focus on more.
Well, Well, I would think too, because you're an entertainer. It's not just about getting the ring and, you know, doing what you do to your body. Obviously, that's a big part of it. But when it comes to that physicality and getting used to that, but I'm sure you want to get out there more from an entertainment aspect because that's what you do and that's why you get into the business.
Yeah, I'm like a caged animal sometimes. And there's, let me yearn to breathe free kind of thing. Like, get out there and get it going. And, you know, at the end of the day, the job I have is a job I love. I get to do it. I get paid to be an asshole to people and beat people up. That's pretty sweet.
So where's the EC3 YouTube channel?
You know, I don't know. I was about to get involved in that game, but then I see all the wrestling content and the ad revenue, and like it just seems like a big headache, so I'm waiting for that to clear up before I would start anything.
Well, it's all about getting a brand out there more, I think.
Yeah, I guess, you know, I'm not one of the kids with the millennials with the devices. I guess YouTube's a big thing. I should probably be on that.
Well, that's up to you. I'm just trying to give you ideas during your downtime, you know, ways you can entertain yourself. Cool.
I'm glad this interview has become an EC3 therapy session.
Sure, why not?
I kind of need it together.
Hey, you know, you said you like going out there and you like beating the crap out of people. So what's it like now getting to be that a-hole again, being the bad guy?
Well, good question. Do I look at it as bad and good anymore? Heel and face, antagonist and protagonist? I don't know. I like the opportunity to explore a darker version of myself because, you know, the great wrestling characters are an extension of your personality times 10. And maybe as a protagonist, I fall into a hole of what do people want as opposed to what do I want? And in this mold, in this push forward, I can be more what I want to be and try things different without the fear of fan reprisal, because if they do not like it, I'm still doing my job, and my job is to make them not like it. But some still do. Some like me as an asshole more. So, cool.
Do you think
I tweeted once to all the people that said they like me better as a heel. Eat shit. So I will say that to the fans now too. If you like me better as a heel, eat shit. Therefore, they either really, really like that statement, or they really, really hate it, and I can't change your mind. That's cool. I mean, you want to boo me? Great. Awesome. You want to cheer me? That's your prerogative. I don't want you to cheer me, but you can if you want. But at the end of the day, as long as when I'm out there, you're not indifferent, that's what I care about.
Yeah. I mean, do you feel like your personality fits better as an antagonist?
I guess it depends on what's going on in my own life. But I think the antagonist, in a wrestling sense, is something more fun for me. Shockingly, in real life, I'm kind of an okay, decent guy. Except when I'm in India, I actually was real dick to people, and it kind of felt good. So maybe I should be like that in real life, too, more. But the personality is easier to explore as a villain sometimes for me.
Yeah. So when's the last time you slipped up and called it TNA Wrestling?
Last interview, maybe? No, but I always catch myself seriously. I've done one thing I'm good at is company lingo and buzzwords. Once they ingrain it into me, I'm pretty good at keeping it, you know, especially, like, I was told once, don't call a title a belt, and then I've never called it a belt again in my life.
Right.
You know, so once I'm told something, I'm pretty good at doing it.
I slip up all the time. I have to get used to calling it Impact Wrestling, which it was before, but it wasn't. It was kind of this weird thing, and now it's just all on the same page. It's all Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, well, I'm glad we officially made it our branding, because calling yourself two different things is it's confusing to someone who may not know much about either. You know, to a wrestling fan, they get it, but to someone that maybe we're trying to convert or to become a wrestling fan, who's a TNA or Impact? What do? I wrestle. Oh, you do the WWF stuff? No, I'm with TNA, Impact Wrestling. I mean, that's like a lot of words.
Right.
I'm with Impact Wrestling. I'm pop every Thursday at 8 p.m. That's easier to see.
And I always thought it was a little bit tough when it came to work for TNA, and we know what it stands for, but for just the person that maybe isn't as familiar with it, that they're going to look at TNA and they're like, oh, what is that? Some kind of dirty programming or something?
Yeah, like a tits and ass wrestling? No. Yeah. You know, well, it worked at the time,
yeah.
I think, but going forward, culture isn't that brash right now. And Impact Wrestling is what we are, what we should be. And the acronym could be a little confusing to the common folk, and this is a lot easier to say. And as long as we're going forward with it as our brand, I'm on board.
Well, it's a little bit different than the early days when they were on pay-per-view with women going topless and, you know, midgets spanking themselves in trash cans, things like that. They've moved on from that.
Yeah, unfortunately, I love midgets spanking themselves. And I love topless maids.
Well, who doesn't like that?
Always in wrestling. Yeah. And, I mean, but like, I can go, after Impact's done at 10 p.m., I can go flip on, you know, my Fire Stick or hop online or, hell, even maybe Cinemax has something nice on it. If I need that, I can find it elsewhere. I don't need it for wrestling.
But Cinemax has scaled back. I mean, they're no longer Skinemax anymore like they once were. Red Shoe Diaries aren't running as often.
That was Showtime.
Was it Showtime?
I know that because I was a little perverted teenager. Like everybody, so.
Well, I'm glad you're keeping me straight about that.
Something I take very seriously is my softcore.
Yes, exactly.
Now you're going to get heat from the internet.
Why? Why would I get heat about that? I mean, I could have sat here and we could have talked about House of Cards and broke down Frank Underwood. I mean, come on.
Oh, God, what a character.
Yeah, I know, right?
But yeah. We're covering all bases here.
That's what we got to do. So have things, what has been the biggest difference since the beginning of the year when Anthem officially took over as owners of the group?
I think with anything, with any change, there's growth and things of that nature. I haven't really experienced too much change because I show up each and every day doing the best me I could possibly be. And I have no fears or reprisals over am I going to lose out because of new management. Maybe I fall out of favor because they want to try new things. I don't have that at all because I know deep down I'm the best guy here, I'm the best guy there, best guy anywhere, new catchphrase, and I'm fully confident in my abilities that I will be where I belong on the card. So I know they inherited a stud and a face of the franchise and a top man. So I've had no qualms about continuing business the way I continue about it because I'm the hardest working guy there and nothing's changed.
You know, when it comes to last year, there was so much talk about the group and it wasn't exactly the talk that you would want from a standpoint that people weren't talking about the actual product or what we saw in the ring. I mean, the conversation was based around, are they going to be able to survive and what's going on with the ownership? What was that experience like going through that? Because there's a lot of times where I thought Impact was putting on some very good programming and people just weren't talking about it.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes it's easier to talk about, I mean, even in wrestling nowadays, talking about the issues that persist backstage sometimes become more intriguing fodder than the product itself, and it's unfortunate as far as going through it. The only thing we can do, or the only thing I can focus on doing, is what I do and what I do the best. That stuff was above my grade or below my grade or something I had no control over. Knowing you have no control over it and accepting you have no control over outside things, I think is a great help and great asset. So if you're worried about what other people are doing, you're going to get lost, but if you focus on what you're doing, you have nothing but confidence and pride in yourself. So that's the way I look at it.
When it comes to
even today, like Anthem takes over and we're off to a new fresh start, but other things persisted outside of the company that the talent had no control over and people are talking about. And again, I have nothing to do with any of that besides I show up, I do my job, and I'm going to kick ass doing it.
And that's the thing. You go there and you've got a job to do, so you try to stay out of it. Do you ever talk to management or get involved with anything? Or you say, you know what, I know what I'm here to do and this is the way it's going to be, despite, you know, you've been there for almost 5 years and you are a top guy there with the promotion.
Well, almost four. Let's not make it older than I am.
You're coming up on five.
Jesus. Oh, well, Lord have mercy. I talk to management about what's important to me and my direction in going forward. And if I have opinions on something, I would gladly share them if they ask. But what I concentrate on is what they want out of me and do that to the best of my ability. So, you know, I don't need to get involved in the help of the scuttlebutt and the scraps that take place on the outside because That's none of my, that's not my personal interest. My personal interest is myself. And the company, growing it as much as I can with what they want out of me. And I mean, if they ask me for an opinion, I'd gladly share it, but I have no need to get involved in that.
You know, last year there was the huge rivalry between yourself and Bobby Lashley that went on throughout the summer and culminated at Bound for Glory. And it was this really big match feel that we had there with, you know, Lashley holding that championship for as long as he did. And it felt like the time was going to come where we got this big match with EC3 and he's finally going to dethrone this champion. And it did not happen. Are you surprised that was the direction they went and not with you as champion?
Am I surprised? Yes and no. No, in the sense because I saw great business in Bobby retaining the title and being an unbeatable monster for as long as possible. But surprise in the sense that, yes, if you want your protagonist to be accepted by the fans and go through hell to get what he wants, and he doesn't get what he wants, it kind of leaves your protagonist dead, in a sense, you know, with a proverbial D in his hand. Like, if you believe in somebody to do something and they don't do it, you're going to lose belief. So, I'm fine with that. I have no problems with that because I thought Bobby is a monster heel, even though he immediately lost it. It was questionable because I thought him as the monster on top for as long as possible to be dethroned was great for business. But also for a protagonist, or EC3 is a good guy myself, it means something needed to change. So I wasn't going to be able to show up the next week and do business as usual. I would have to put an edge to it. And I tried that as a protagonist, but there was never a payoff for EC3 as a good guy. So that's why it's great that it reverted back into what I am today. And plus, with Anthem taking over and sort of the disparaging of the past regime, in that sense, it's great motivation for EC3 as a character to lash out against the new ownership, the new company, and the new direction, and it makes for intriguing television. So it works out very well. So as a surprise from Bound for Glory, hey, I didn't get the job done. That's okay. Because everything happens for a reason. It brought me to where I am today.
Yeah.
I'm very comfortable and happy in this role. And where I want to take it, I think is even better than with having me as a good guy, winning the title, becoming ad nauseum to the fans, and they get sick of me and turn on me. I think this works way better.
What's it like for you as a performer to go out there and you see different parts of the show where they've brought in Bruce Pritchard, you know, they've had other people and they're disparaging past ownership. Does that matter to you, or what's it like being a part of that?
In reality, we talked about some of the shows we had in the past and how they were really good, but you know, you could have focus based on the outside perception of what was taking place on the business end. I think that even takes place when they talk about it like that. Whether it's true or not, it doesn't matter what's true. It matters what you believe and what we're putting there on television. So it's great fodder for me to go against because I truly believe in some of the things I did in the past that were really good to great, and we did some really awesome television. But to have it kind of teased and pooped on makes my character way more edgier, makes way more sense, and your villains are better when they have a clear motivation that people even understand, in a sense. So it worked out pretty well, and I they know
yeah.
Good stuff, and I'm good, so I'm not worried about. I don't have hurt feelings over talking about some of the crap that took place because there was some crap. I mean, that's the business.
What was the lowest period for you when all that was going on?
I think it was between the Spike and the Destination America period because I was still new there and unsolidified and not confident in who I was quite yet. So if it ended then, you know, I didn't have the body of work and the brand, so to speak, that I have now. So the other time when it was between Destination America and Pop, I wasn't as worried because I'm like, yeah, I did pretty good. I got to a certain level. And then with Pop now, I'm, you know, set at a really good level that no matter what happens, I'm fully confident in my abilities and my future's bright regardless of what happens.
I know you steer clear of all the different politics and whatever goes on behind the scenes, but was there ever a point where you really thought, like, I wonder if the rumors are true and this place isn't going to make it?
Probably for me, not as much as others, because a lot of people, we were talking about earlier, buy into rumors and let outside voices affect their psyche and their personality and their work. Where I was like, if it ends tomorrow, whatever, I'm good. You know, I can only focus on myself and doing myself to the best of my abilities and using this as a platform to build my brand and hopefully, with the right tools, building this brand beyond what it's ever been. So that's the way I looked at it. That's the way I still look at it.
So Slammiversary is coming up on July 2nd. You're going to be a big part of it. I know you guys have done all the television tapings leading up to it. Can we talk about what you're going to be doing at Slammiversary?
Well, I mean, if people are listening to this, we have our first show in India debuting tomorrow, which I believe is 6/8/2017, 8 p.m. on POP TV. As you may have saw, I had the number one contendership going to Slammiversary to get my revenge on Mr. Bobby Lashley. I had a great barbershop quintet. I had a violin player. I had just a big celebration. And, of course, the current management was unpleased with the results because, you know, I'm the freaking man. I'm the best guy here, there, anywhere. And I became a home contender. So they pulled a fast one on me, threw me in a cage match versus Patron for the number one contendership. I was prepared. I was defeated. We're going into Slammiversary. Patron is the number one contender for Bobby Lashley. We're going into India. I obviously have unresolved issues with James Storm. I lash out with him, not only verbally, but physically with a strap. I think we can see where this is going at Slammiversary 15. That yeah. James Storm and I are on the collision course, so to speak. So, yeah.
Do you like the violence of a match that you're possibly leading to?
I'm alluding, obviously, yeah, to Slammiversary 15 and some sort of stipulation match between James Storm and I that involves a strap. And I guess you can, you know,
we can figure it out from there.
You can figure it out from there. And at Slammiversary 15, I mean, this company has been in existence in various forms for 15 years. That's impressive. And we're culminating that at Slammiversary. And I will be a big part of it, probably against James Storm. And if it is between him and I, I'm not looking to have a great match. I'm not going to sit here and sell you on it's going to be an excellent competition. It's going to be a great wrestling match. It's going to be fun for the family and the friends to watch. It's going to be an ass-kicking. It is going to be a drubbing. It's going to be brutal. It is going to be a beatdown. It is going to be a decimation. I will be James Storm. Nothing more than a busted-up, broken-down, beer-drunk. I will destroy him. I will tear him apart limb by limb, flesh from his bone until there's nothing left. Not because I want to, more so because I need to, because he harkens to the past. He is the past, and they want to make Impact great via the past, and that is just not the case because I am the present, I am the future, and I will use James Storm, it's not personal, as sort of a canvas to paint a masterpiece on, and it will not be pretty, it will not be fun, it will be ugly, it will be nasty, and it will be me victorious.
So if you like violence, Slammiversary will be the show for you.
Well said.
Slammiversary is coming up on July 2nd. It's at the Impact Zone in Orlando, live on pay-per-view. I always appreciate the time. Thanks again, and continued success.
Pleasure, and I will see you in the ring in Central Florida.
Yes, I'm sure we will make that happen here in the very near future.
All right, take care.
Thanks again to EC3 for the interview. Great catching up with him. I'll be perfectly honest about this. I have not had a lot of interviews, obviously, with talent from Impact Wrestling over, I don't know how long now. It's been a while since I've talked to somebody for Impact. And, you know, they've got new ownership now. There is a new PR team that is involved. And I think we're going to have a much better relationship. It's not like the one I had in the past was a bad relationship. It's just they weren't doing much when it came to getting their talent out there to do interviews and spreading the word. It was a very chaotic year for Impact last year, to say the least. So I think now that they are trying to stabilize a little bit more, that is going to change. Hopefully that will change, and I'm hoping to have more talent from Impact Wrestling here on the show. It's the one thing I've always said about that group is that I want them to do well. I never blame the talent for when things really go bad. I mean, you can sit there, you can say, hey, you know what? I think that somebody should have a better match or, you know, whatnot when it comes to that. But when it comes to the overall issues that myself and plenty of other people have had with Impact Wrestling, it's not on a talent standpoint. It's more on a booking management standpoint. So I kind of feel bad for the talent sometimes because they've been caught in this whole mix of everything that's going on there. But you know what? I think there's a lot of people there that have worked extremely hard when it comes to talent and they're doing the best that they can. My biggest qualms with that company has been behind the scenes. And I hope they get that figured out. I hope they're doing better. And I'm looking forward to having a good relationship with Impact Wrestling going forward. That'll allow me to have more and more talent here on the podcast. Before I get out of here, I want to talk about a couple of things. Didn't want to just leave it at the interview here for the podcast. We can go a little bit longer. So John Cena is on the second season of the reality show American Grid. He's hosting it for a second season. He's been doing some promotion for this. And he did an interview with The Wrap that's gotten a lot of attention. So he was asked about the back and forth buildup for the match at WrestleMania between himself and The Miz and everything that went into that. And he was just talking about hyping that match and everything. And let me read the entire quote. It's a long quote, but bear with me here. So here's what John Cena said about this. He goes, quote, "If you look at my existence in WWE, I've never asked anyone and will never ask anyone to pull any punches. I believe that it's a strong survive environment and accept nothing less. I think people forget my history in WWE sometimes and the fact that I truly had to earn every inch. There is this overwhelming perception that I am protected and coddled. That couldn't be farther from the truth. Every single opponent that I have, if they don't realize that I give them free range to throw their best punch and just know that I'm going to punch back, I openly let that be known. I just think that it's something that goes vastly overlooked. I believe you bring your best to every story and you bring your best to every fight. And if my skills aren't as good, then it's time to step back. And it's just a matter of believing in myself and going out there and speaking from the heart. I believe that sometimes that's something missing in some of the WWE storylines, being honest and brave enough to put everything out there on the table. I've always done that. And I think the same could be said about multiple storylines with multiple superstars. And it's always with me. That is why I have the reputation of quote unquote burying younger talent, because I will let them do whatever they want with me. And then after they get done, they're not as motivated. So it's not that I sink their ship. It's that they fail to operate at an elite level. And I'm on to the next person to whom I say, hey man, bring your best punch and I'm going to punch back. And they don't take that attitude beyond me. I take that approach to everyone. The Miz story couldn't be a better example of that, because when that story started, no one wanted to see that match. No one. I made it a point to have everyone work as hard as they could to change everyone's mind. And now here you are, months after the fact, saying that was one of the most entertaining things done on television. That just goes to show you that it's all just about how much you're willing to invest and how strongly you believe in what you want to do. He makes a lot of good points here, and I understand that there's some people that are upset by these comments. You know, there's going to be a lot of people that say, well, John Cena is a top guy. He gets free range. He can do what he wants. And there is some truth to that, that he is getting a lot more leeway. I think that he's also been given marching orders many a times. He will see something that he does not like. He will still try to make the best out of a situation. When it comes to is he scripted or not, I'm sure he's given a script, but he has more free range to do things that he wants. I think he's allowed to give more input, and he has earned every part of that. At the same time, I know the big thing that stands out to a lot of people that's gotten some discussion going is this whole, you know, is he burying younger talent? Because he goes out there and, you know, they kind of push buttons. They do whatever when they get in a program with him. And then he says after that, they kind of go off and they sink. When you're in a program with John Cena, maybe you're a lot more leeway. I think what John is saying here is, why are some people not working as hard when it comes to me or perceived that way? Or why are they not taking as many chances that they would take with me? there is a little bit of an answer to this, at least from the outside looking in. Because on the outside, we can sit there and say, well, you're John Cena. You can do more. You can get away with more. And people can probably get away with more when they're in the program with you because it involves you. And you're the Teflon guy. You're the top guy. When they're involved in a program with other people, they do not get that leeway. They do not get those opportunities. And I think what John is basically saying is, hey, man, if you can do it with me, you can do it with anybody. Go out there and take a chance. Just make it work. And I think that's the big thing here is that if you're going to take a chance, make it a good chance. Take good risks. I've heard that before from other people. Like if you want to go out there on your own, you want to take a risk, even against marching orders, you know, you're the one that's going to live or die by that. Now, there is a difference to taking a risk that's totally against marching orders or putting your own twist on things that still is something that management wants, but maybe you're putting your own touch on it to where you can make it work of something that maybe would not work before. There's different, I guess, ways to look at all of this. There's different ways to weigh it all. And, you know, John's got his thoughts on all this. He's got his own opinions. And it's worked for him. Look at his story of where he was and where he has gone and where he is at now. I think that's what he's basically saying is, look at everything that I did. Because this was a guy that was very close to being cut at one point. The best thing that John Cena always had going for him was he could talk. He could talk. He was willing to take risks. He's willing to do things. I mean, how long ago was it that we said John Cena couldn't work in the ring? And now we're always talking about how he has a great match every night that he's out there. Yes, he's not out there as much now because he's getting more different opportunities when it comes to Hollywood or television, whatever it might be. But when John is in WWE, and this goes for whatever John is involved with, this guy gives everything he's got. He is full tilt, dialed in, and he's giving you what he's got. And I think that's all he wants from everybody else. He's saying, go out there, leave it all out there. Take risks, take chances, make it happen. Is that easier said than done? In some cases, yes. And I can understand the hesitation from different guys of saying, I don't want to do that, or I can't do that because I'm going to piss somebody off. I'm going to irritate the wrong guy. What if it doesn't work? Have confidence in yourself to make it work. That's the big thing. And when you take a risk, make sure that it's a calculated risk and one that you truly believe in and one that you are really invested in. Look at all these different guys that we've seen even now. And not everybody's going to be a top guy, but we've seen plenty of examples of guys that are taking risks or have done things and they're making it work. They're owning different things and saying, hey, you know what? I might not be the world champion, or at least not right now. I might not be the Intercontinental champion. I might not be in the main event, but guess what? I'm going to make what I'm being involved with work. And I'm going to make sure that management sees that. And I'm rewarded for it by getting more television time, by getting more opportunities. Look at what Fandango was doing. I mean, nobody thought that that was going to work. And those guys have been, I mean, when it comes to but Fandango and Tyler Breeze, those guys have gone out there and they've worked extremely hard. There's going to be plenty of people that might not like what they're doing, but they're getting opportunities now. They're getting more TV time because they have worked hard at working on that act. They haven't gone out there. We haven't heard a lot of moaning and groaning. I'm sure they're disappointed in the roles that they were in before, but they said, you know what? We're going to make the most of this. And that's exactly what they're doing. Look at Heath Slater. I mean, he's not on TV right now very much, but that dude, he has every reason to sit there and go, why am I even here? Or you would think that, but he might look at it in a totally different way. And I think he does. He's probably looking at it. Look at the opportunities that I get. Or at least he was getting when he was with 3MB. And then when he was off on his own, sure, he's a bit of a comedy guy, but he was making the most of every opportunity that he got. And he was getting television time on a regular basis. And he was even the tag team champion with Rhino for a little while. So you got to take risks. You got to own the opportunities that you are given. And for anybody that wants to get all bent out of shape about John Cena's comments, fine, get bent out of shape, whatever. I know there's going to be some people that say, well, if I'm in that locker room, I'm totally pissed at John Cena. Why? Because John's being honest. I mean, this isn't something that John wouldn't say to anybody's face. He wants other people to succeed. He wants WWE to succeed. He wants to see other guys do great. He wants them to be in a position where they are main eventers, where they are top stars, and he gets to work with all of them, and he gets to have fun with all of them. He gets to have great matches. He gets to have great shows. He gets to make a lot of money. He gets to do great business with all of them. That's what he wants. And there's nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing. I would hope more people would have that attitude as well. I mentioned on the podcast of Michael, obviously New Japan Pro Wrestling has a big show coming up this weekend, the Dominion show. So we get the rematch, the huge rematch from Wrestle Kingdom 11. Kazuchika Okada against Kenny Omega, IWGP Heavyweight Championship on the line. Are they going to have as good of a match as they had in January? Probably not. Does that mean it's going to be a bad match? Absolutely not. These guys are guaranteed to have a great match. I look at this kind of like the way we had those matches between Shawn Michaels and The Undertaker at WrestleMania in back-to-back years. WrestleMania 25 is arguably the greatest match in the history of WrestleMania when those two guys faced. They did it the next year, and they had another really, really good match. I think the one at 25 was better, but it's not going to take anything away from the match that they had at WrestleMania 26. This match, it's going to be taking place on Sunday. I think it's going to be a great match. If it's not as good as the one that they had in January, so what? Those are ridiculous expectations. These guys are artists. They're both at the top of their game, and they're going to have an excellent, excellent match. The big question here is, will Kenny Omega finally be the guy that dethrones Okada as the champion over in New Japan? There's some other wrinkles that go into this. Remember, New Japan's coming to Long Beach, California for a pair of shows, July 1st and July 2nd. It'll be their first ever shows they've had in the United States. Would it be better for them to make their U.S. debut with an American, or excuse me, with a North American champion? Because Kenny Omega is Canadian. But would that make more sense to have him as a champion going into those shows? Possibly. Also, does it make more sense to put the title on Kenny because he's been chasing the title? It's a big, long story. And on top of that, he could leave. He could leave when his contract is done at the end of the year. Is he going to? I have no idea. I don't know what's going through his mind. I know he recently said that one of his dreams, one of his goals that he would like is to have a big match with AJ Styles. I don't know if that's going to happen. But if it is going to happen, we know where it's going to happen. It's going to happen in WWE. So there's a lot of wrinkles here. Heck, Kenny Omega might be thinking in his mind, you know what? I am going to leave. And maybe that's why New Japan says, well, we can't put the championship on you because we got to take it off by the end of the year. And then it's not going to look good that a guy who was a champion just left. There's a lot of different things that go into this. Will Okada retain or will Omega become the new champion? Will he be the IWGP heavyweight champion for the first time in his career? I think Kenny is going to win. They've told a story. They built up to the story. The story is, can he actually hit the one-winged angel? If he can hit his finisher, he will defeat Okada. They have told that story in the ring, and they've told other stories outside the ring about, you know, he was the guy that took the spot of AJ Styles when AJ left and became the leader of the Bullet Club. People wondered, can he actually compete as a heavyweight? And he has done that. He has exceeded expectations. Like I said, these two guys are two of the top talents in the world. They're going to have a fantastic match. They've told the story. And I think it makes a lot of sense for Omega to win the championship here. Some of the other matches on the show, Tetsuya Naito against Hiroshi Tanahashi. That's for the IWGP Intercontinental Championship. Tanahashi wrestling with a torn bicep, which is crazy, but he's going to do it. You know, he's taking a few weeks off, but he is known for working through injuries. It's a bit nuts. I wish he would have had the surgery, but you know what? That's not his mindset, and he is going to wrestle. As for who's going to win this, that's a very good question. I know Tanahashi feels like he has plenty left in the tank, and he's still very good. I think Naito will retain, but we shall see. Minoru Suzuki against Hirooki Goto, lumberjack death match for the Never Open Weight Championship. I think Suzuki is going to win that one. That should be interesting because you don't see those types of matches over New Japan that often. Hiromu Takahashi against Kushida for the Junior Heavyweight Championship. Kushida, of course, just winning the Best of the Super Juniors. That final match that he had with Will Ospreay, fantastic. Kushida and Ospreay, man, those guys just tore it up throughout the entire tournament, especially Ospreay. That guy was just beyond impressive. They've told the story here now. So Takahashi against Kushida. If I had to pick, I think I'd still say Takahashi will retain, but that could go either way. You know, you could do a rematch with this one, not too far from now as well. If Kushida loses, or either way, you could do a rematch off of that one. Cody against Michael Elgin. I guess Michael Elgin, even though Cody could be getting a little bit more of a push there. War Machine, Gorillas of Destiny for the tag team championships. I'm going to say Gorillas of Destiny win the titles back from War Machine. I do wonder if they're long for New Japan. Roppongi Vice against the Young Bucks for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Championship. I think the Young Bucks are going to win it back here. And then there's a couple other matches as well. So, I mean, I didn't want to go too deep into everything, give a few predictions. You know, Michael and I, we don't talk too much about New Japan. I don't know how much Michael is keeping up on it. On the periphery, he keeps up on it. I am far from an expert. I mean, far from an expert. But I have definitely watched more New Japan over the last couple of years and continue to follow it a lot closer. I watched a chunk of the Best of the Super Juniors. And I'm going to be going to the two shows at Long Beach coming up here in a few weeks from now. So I just really enjoy everything that New Japan does for the most part. It's different. I like that it's so different from WWE. WWE's obviously got more stories to go with the matches. And this is, to me, it feels like just pure matches. They do have storylines, but they're different from the way that WWE does it. So I really enjoy what they do. I like that it's something different and get invested in these different characters and watch these matches that they have. I mean, they've got incredible talent. Those guys are out there and they're killing it, especially when it comes to these big shows. And I expect this show on Sunday to be a hell of a show. It's on New Japan World. You can watch it live. I think it's at 3:00 in the morning on the East Coast. I will not be watching it live. I'll be watching it later on Sunday morning, like a lot of other people, but I'm really looking forward to watching it. I'm going to try to avoid spoilers. If I get up in the morning and I watch it before anybody spoils it, then I can really enjoy the show. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun to see what they do on that one. And by the way, if you don't have New Japan World and you are even just interested in this one show, it's like $8.50 American, I think is what the money equates to right now when it comes to the US dollar and, you know, when it comes to buying it in Japan. So it's a really good deal. Like, it's even cheaper than the WWE Network. So if you are, even if you want to sample New Japan or at least sample this show, go out there and get New Japan World, and it's cheap, and I think you get your money's worth. So go check it out, and I think you'll enjoy it. And if you don't like it, you know, you can always cancel. So that's totally up to you. So thanks again, everybody, for listening to the podcast. We'll be back next week. I believe we'll have two podcasts again next week, one with myself and Michael, and then I'll have another one, hopefully with another interview and probably another thing like I'm doing right now where more on that podcast besides just the interviews. So look for more podcasts coming up here in the near future. Like I said, I really appreciate everybody that listens and downloads the podcast. Please rate and review us. That helps us out tremendously, especially on iTunes when it comes to the rankings that if you rate the podcast and give us some great stars, that helps us move up the charts. That helps us out tremendously. And also review it. I always welcome back any feedback. So leave the reviews there. And if anybody ever has any requests or any thoughts or anything like that, follow me on Twitter at Brian Fritz. I'll answer any question. And I'll try to, help you out when it comes to if there's an interview you want to hear with somebody that I can realistically get. Don't just say The Undertaker or something like that. That's a tough get. But if you have a request for an interview or if there's something in particular you want to hear on the show or you want us to talk more about a promotion or whatever it might be, hit me up on Twitter at Brian Fritz and I'll see what I can do. We're always trying to please everybody that's listening and I really enjoy talking wrestling with everybody. and getting some feedback from everybody as well, what you want to listen to. One more thing before we get out of here. I keep mentioning Patreon. Please support us on Patreon. Patreon.com/betweentheropes. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Even a dollar a month goes a long way. And I'm going to be putting up some new tiers there on Patreon. That helps us out a lot. You know, I devote time and effort to this. I'm not trying to get some kind of pity story or anything like that. But any support that you can provide on Patreon, that helps us out, because that allows me to use that income to pour back into Between the Ropes, but also allows me to take time away from other work, and I can devote more time towards Between the Ropes, and I can do more things. I've got ideas. I've always got ideas. I got a ton of ideas. It's just implementing those ideas and finding the time to do that. So if you like what we do, if you want to hear more of the podcast, you want more Between the Ropes, please help us out on Patreon and support us. You know, it helps us out a lot, like I said, and we really appreciate it. You know, if you can't support us financially, that's cool. Just spread the word about Between the Ropes. Go and rate and review the podcast. Keep listening. Tell friends, all the good stuff right there. I mean, that would be great. If you can help us out on Patreon, it's $1, $2 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month. All of that helps us out tremendously, and I will greatly appreciate it. Like I said, I'm going to be putting some new tiers up there and some things that we do for people that contribute to us on the Patreon page. It's patreon.com/betweentheropes. That is going to do it for the podcast. Thanks again, everybody, for listening. I'll be back next week. Talk to you then right here, Between the Ropes.